Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys and Sometimes Gals, because today not only do you have your host Matt Marrero, you also have
Katie Angusser. Hi.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Go home,
oh,
Katie.
Okay.
Go home. No, we have Katie with us today, who longtime Doctor Who watcher. I mean, not long, but long enough, you know. And and here we are talking about the Doctor Who Series 8 Episode 1 episode. Which was very interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
To say the least.
Yeah, it was different, that's for sure.
Yeah, which is, I mean, different can be good, but I mean, different is, it's weird. I've heard a lot of positive reviews, and I'm not saying that they're all wrong, but what I am saying is, I don't know, this wasn't something that I think I jumped into completely, and I'm happy to hear that I'm not the only one, because also you felt a little haphazard with this opening. But before you go on about that, I just want to let everyone know, if you want to call in, right, because you can, if you want to call in, the number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number is 718-664-9468. However, I want you all to realize that the call-in number, right, you can easily call in, like just to talk to us. However, understand that you could also call in just to listen. All right, so you could easily be calling in right now just to say, you know, just to sit there in case maybe you don't have good internet service or something, which is, you know, again, just fine, because sadly there's some out there who may, you know, who might not have the internet, but could, you know, well enough, but could also have the phone. So you can call in 718-664-9468, or, right, if you do want to talk to us, when you call in, the operator will say, oh, press 1 if you want to speak to the host. You press 1. I will get a notification telling me that you're calling in specifically to talk to us about this awesome, or okay, actually, episode of Doctor Who.
Well, fine then.
I have to promote everything. But anyway, so Katie, how did you feel about this episode as a whole? Before we go into the little mini bits of the episode, how do you feel about it as a whole?
It was all right. I mean, I feel like
the enthusiasm
of a I feel like in terms of a premiere episode, it wasn't the best.
Right.
Because I think I've expressed this to you before. The one thing I always did like about Doctor Who was when a Doctor regenerated, if you had never watched the show before, the second that the new Doctor starts up, you can just immediately, or I always felt, you can just immediately go in and maybe you might be slightly confused. But for the most part, you can pick up pretty quickly.
And, of course, she's referring to New Who, you know, the 2005 run. Like, from that run with all those doctors that she's seen, and I agree, usually when a doctor appears, there are obviously going to be characters there that people might not get, but they aren't to the point where it's lizard people, you know. You know, lesbian lizard people and Strax. That's all which is a strange – actually, that is a strange – name of a show, Lesbian Lizard People and Strax. That's an amazing band. Someone should fund that.
People have been asking for a runoff series. I wouldn't be against it.
Oh, you would not be against it?
I said I would not be against it.
Neither would I. Good. Neither would I. That would actually be an amazing series. I would be a fan. But, all right. So, yeah, I agree with you. Because as a, you know, and it's not a bad episode. Because I told you myself. I said it's not bad. It's just, as a premiere episode, you know, where the bar usually is set very high, it was episode 4 material, you know? It wasn't the worst thing. but it was in the middle of its run material. Where, and it's funny because I will admit, for something like Doctor Who, it is hard, I think, for us to, because usually, it's very funny, when Satish Ram and I do wrestling shows, usually we're there, sitting there going, okay, so here's how it could have been better. Here's how it could have been better. I'll admit, Doctor Who, it's hard for us to pick where it could have been better, because it wasn't terrible at all. Just, yeah. You know, it was, I think just the issue is that if it had been 45 minutes, I don't think a lot would have been lost. You know, if it would have been a 45-minute episode somewhere down the line.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't exactly thrilled. Like, the story itself was – it's not a bad story. The thing that got me was, and I didn't even realize it until the doctor had brought it up, that for the most part, the elements of the story had already been told before.
Well, I mean, they'll do that all the time. I don't think that's much of an issue. I think what the issue is that my issue is the setting, I think, is overused. But the actual story itself with the plot elements, it's funny because, in my opinion anyway, where he's making all these references like, I have definitely seen this before. And if anyone new is trying to watch, because you tell them, oh, watch with the new doctor, they haven't seen it before. So they don't get to laugh like we do, where it's just like, robot, we've seen robots. Madam Pompadour.
The only insider that I was actually okay with him referencing, and I thought that was actually cute, was when he was looking in the mirror and going, I've seen this face before. I assume most people know that Capaldi has been on the show before in the
Capaldi?
Pompeii.
Capaldi?
Sorry.
No,
I told you I was
going
to set up at least
no.
once.
It's funny. We have all been saying Capaldi a lot, but apparently, according to Chris Hardwick, on the Doctor Who segment before the episode aired, he called it Capaldi 5 times, and then while saying it, said, that's the right way to pronounce it, making me and every other nerd go, oh.
We are so sorry.
You know?
On behalf of people who have had hard-to-pronounce names, we are so sorry.
No, it's just an issue. Maybe, I don't know, just... For some reason, Americans are the ones who put ethnicity into someone's name. Like, for some reason, right? No, usually it's just like, oh, like what's his name? Oh, yeah, it's Capaldi. No, it's not, sir. It's Capaldi. It's like, all of a sudden over there, no, Capaldi.
No, move it over.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, yeah, so as you were saying, that was a fun little insider. But it...
I thought that was cute. That was cute.
It was.
That I was like,
and, of course,
okay,
the eyebrow thing was cute.
Yeah, that was cute. I mean...
Yeah.
Moffat had said in interviews before the show even aired that the new doctor, with the way that he was going to portray him, he wasn't likable at first. He wasn't exactly approachable, but you will grow to love him.
And I already have grown to really like him, I think, it took half the episode, but about half the episode in, I think it was when he was sitting there with Clara at their little lunch thing that I really started to grow fond of him.
Yeah. At that point, I was sitting there like, okay, he's not totally, he's there, which...
Yes.
It's an issue in and of itself, but it's...
Right. Well,
I always thought that the Doctor, at least maybe Tennant and Smith might have been close in personality, but you can't sit there and go, well, they're exactly the same.
No, not at all.
So
I understand.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it was strange because I thought they were playing up the aspect of his anger, especially with that homeless guy. I thought it was more on with his regeneration, because as you all know, when he regenerates, he gets a little loopy.
Yeah.
You know? So I didn't realize that, no, the extent of his loopiness was only, I faint occasionally. And it was just, he faints occasionally.
I actually didn't hear that.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's just, he faints occasionally. Just, oh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, like, I thought it was a bit more like...
Well, I mean, in Tennant's premiere episode, he was in a coma for, like, half of it, so...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so it's understandable why he would... Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I thought it was... But he was also a bit loopy before that. What did he... I'm trying to think of some of the things that he said. Remember, he said some really wacky stuff.
Well, he did quote The Lion King. So.
Right, he didn't. That's the extent. It's just he forgot about the Lion King immediately after everything was okay. Also, Of course, you know, Tennant grew a damn hand.
Yeah, that's true.
So a lot of things.
I mean, can you grow a hand? I mean,
last I checked, no, which is really bad for the little stub that I have right now. If I had a nickel for every time it happened, you'd know that I'm holding the phone with my feet. Anyway, I'd have two nickels. Yes. So we talked about the Doctor enough, right? But however, Doctor Who isn't just about its doctors, strangely. It is about the companions that go along with them. Now, I think you and I have very strong and possibly radical feelings about Clara, Clara Oswald. If you disagree with these, again, the number, in case you are wondering, is 718-664-9468. The number, again, to fight with us to the death is 718-664-9468, or you could agree with us. Now, let's both say it. We hate Clara. Oh.
Well, not so much I hate Clara.
No, neither do I.
I just, and I mean this in the kindest way I can possibly put, I don't like that she's still here.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, that's the thing. We love Clara. We love the character.
Her story arc technically ended.
That's the thing, yeah. Exactly. You know, I enjoy Jenna Louise Coleman, or now Jenna Coleman. I enjoy, you know, her as Clara or any of the other characters that she's portrayed that are Clara. And I'm fine with them. The issue I feel, right, is that, how do I say this? It's a situation of, like you said, right, but I want to expand on it, where she, you know, Stephen Moffat gives women stories that are really intense and really strong, and once they're over, it just feels like, all right, you can go now, but then they don't.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That is an issue. That is an issue. Also, we have ourselves a caller. So I would like
Yay.
To catch him or her through. I know, right? Your first one
People
on your first
talk
show.
To us. Yay.
I know. Hello, caller.
I'm here to fight you to the death.
Okay. Hello. Again, if I had a nickel, I'd have to pick them up with my feet because my hands are gone. So anyway, hello. I know who this caller is. This is everyone, Tristan Walter from our Dragon Ball Z shows that we do on an almost weekly basis. However, you were bumped this week because of Doctor Who. Now, how does it feel, Tristan?
I don't mind.
Yeah, that's how much he likes the show. So you're here to fight us to the death. How do you feel about Clara?
Well, the one thing I have to say for Clara is basically, I believe it was in the, they talked about it a little bit in the pre-show before the actual episode premiered.
Right.
I feel like she kind of reflects the audience in a way in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Basically in the fact of we're all getting used to a new doctor. And for probably for people that have just jumped in to just, you know, start watching the show now, it's even more of a adjustment, you could say. And it ties into the fact at the end, basically, where he says, you know, that's me. Look at me. Can you see me? Please tell me you can see me.
I am in love with you, Tristan, because this was going to tie into something.
Your girlfriend
is
going to get so mad.
So it is. you tied this so perfectly, and I swear to everyone, I told him to call in if he wanted to, but I didn't give him a script. You magically tied in everything so wonderfully, because now what I have to tell you is that's something that Katie and I both, I think, hated the most, is the fact that we understand that she is the theme. You know, she's like, the theme is we need to, you know, help these kids get over the fact that there's a new doctor. The problem is the fact that she's already done so much with the doctor, and in my opinion, she may have forgotten, but she's seen all the other regenerations. So, and also the fact that she even saw an older version of the Doctor in Time of the Doctor. So it's upsetting to just see how now immediately not out of nowhere, because yes, there was a regeneration, but after it, it feels like she's just like, you know what? I don't really like this guy anymore. Not like that completely, but a little hint of that where, and I understand it's a good theme to send to the kids. Hey, stop it. You like the Doctor. Stop it. He doesn't have to be cute. Stop it. You know, but the issue is that it's just, now it just seems like it's changing up her character a bit too much, where it feels like they're doing this at the risk of her character.
Yeah, I could agree with that. That's a
okay,
solid
well,
point.
At least...
Although I want to ask, did she
right.
somehow get her memory wiped?
That's
anywhere in there?
That's what I'm saying.
I feel
that's
like
why
she
I
might
said.
Have.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. So, Katie, how do you feel?
Okay. You know what the thing is, and I was talking to you about this, how I feel like in terms of the regeneration, like this isn't the first time that we've seen a companion not deal with regeneration well.
Of course.
Rose had it, you know, I think, who was the other one who had it? Someone else had it. I can't remember.
Well, I know
right
Sarah
now.
Jane Smith
back.
Had it. If we're going back to Tom Baker way back in the day, Sarah Jane Smith was also like, who are you? And he's like, I'm the doctor. You know, like, look at me. But it was just like, no, you're a man with a long scarf. Yeah, I'm the doctor.
Yeah.
You know?
But the thing, while you do make a valid point, I also do want to point out that there could be a bit of denial on her part, because while she did see, assuming that she remembers all the regenerations and that regeneration does happen and all these things, it would have been different than actually seeing a regeneration. Because when she did see the regenerations, like she saw Smith and Tennant and Baker, she saw them all at the same
right.
time.
Right.
So it's very easy to say, like, you can say the fact, oh, these are all the same person. But because of the fact that she's seeing them all the same time, it's very to disconnect yourself from the fact that, like, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, like in real
like
life, she has to deal with the fact that
different.
Yes, I understand. Although, yes,
it's
no,
different
I understand
than seeing
that.
It actually happen right in front of you.
Yes. Also, I would like to say though, Katie, how do you feel about Tristan's point where you know it feels like there is a memory wipe because of it feels like her character's slate was wiped clean just to. Because I will admit, because again, remember that even though I'll agree with the fact that she has to deal with the change, as you noted before the episode, she harped on the fact that he was old a lot. So how do you feel about that, Katie?
You know what the thing is? I can understand initial shock of it, that, you know, there was this once young guy and now, oh my God, he's old. And we've seen, you know, Doctor Who make fun of the actor's little quirks, like Eccleston with his ears, and I think you and I were discussing it was his hair.
A bit of, yeah.
Smith, it was his legs.
Yes,
like,
and
we've
his
seen
hair.
That kind of thing before, so for right. her to look at him and just go, oh my God, he has wrinkles and he's gray, like, that's not something new. What was different about it was the fact that she kept making it such a point.
Yeah.
And whenever she would say, you seem like a different man, even though he's not technically a man, but you seem like a different man.
Right.
It always felt, at least for me, it felt like that was the underlying tone of it. You feel like you're a different man because you got older so quick.
Yes.
And that's the thing I don't like. It's one thing to try and transition new Who watchers to the idea
right.
that the Doctor doesn't have to regenerate into someone young. They could be old. It's another to make it a constant point of he can be older. He is, in fact, older, but he can
That's
be.
The thing. That's the thing. Like, it just feels like you've seen that so much. That's why I always bring up that point where it's like you've seen it so much that I understand that the change is weird, but yes, the fact that it's like, well, now he's older. I guess I don't like him anymore. You know, it's like, also, sadly, we're going to have to let Tristan go. But before we do, I want to ask you one thing, Tristan.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Clara staying here this long? Do you think that she could have left earlier, or are you just fine with her where she is right now? And, of course, I don't know if you know, she's probably going to, like, we've heard that she's going to leave by Christmas. So the Christmas special will be her last Christmas special. How
right.
do you feel about her stay, though? Do you think that she's been here too long or too short?
Well, honestly, I'm actually perfectly fine with her staying.
All right,
because
you can go now.
Well, fuck you too.
Click.
The only reason I say that it's okay that she stays is because when I watched the 11th Doctor, I felt like she didn't have as much time as the other companions. Like,
Well, that's also...
Oh, let's
then,
say...
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but then that's why I think we should have had less time with Amy and Rory as well. Even though I love
yeah,
their time,
okay,
I do think they had a bit too much. So now it made Clara look like a chump if she stayed for one series.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, the one thing about Clara, I feel like when she jumped through the timeline and did that whole thing, and then when the doctor pulled her out, I feel like she went through some kind of stress, you know, physical or mental, just being, you know, pulled back out of all of that, and that might be possibly why she doesn't remember all the different generation, the different regenerations, or
that's
the fact
the thing.
That maybe she's looking at it in a different perspective, like, oh, these are his past lives.
Yeah. No, that's
like,
the thing.
Not
like, yeah,
the
I'm
fact
assuming,
that he transitions
right.
into, you know, one into
right.
the other. No, these are his past lives throughout,
right.
you know, the thousands
it's
and
just,
thousands
it's
of years.
That's
yeah,
it's interesting. What I thought, too, I didn't realize. I didn't know if she went to save, because, okay, they only showed us the doctors that we knew existed. But I assume she went to see other doctors as well. See, that's why I hope that they're going with the theory that she forgot everything. The problem is that it looks like as if she's remembered everything. Like, there wasn't a point, like, I hope this season they could ask her, like, do you remember anything that happened there? She's like, honestly, it's all a blur. And I'm like, oh, okay, good. Let's move on with our lives. Because as of right now, it feels like she's like, oh, yeah, I saved you. I remembered everything. Great, so I'm old now. Ew, you're gray in places where you should be. Like,
you see
yeah,
his wrinkles. You see his wrinkles?
I can understand that, yeah.
Exactly, you know, where it's like she's seen him in theory all throughout space and time, you know?
Yeah.
And apparently she also went through the time vortex by accidentally holding onto a key with something only Jack did, and Jack was like an immortal dude. So
yeah.
You know,
like
she clearly
immortal, dude.
she's very impossible. Anyway, but thank you for calling in, Tristan. You know, definitely call in the future if you want to. And, of course, next week we'll be doing our DBZ show, Fusion Reborn. And if it doesn't happen, then the audio from this episode will be deleted shortly.
And if it doesn't happen, Matt will behead me. What?
Well, I mean, yeah. All right. So have a good one, Tristan. Thanks for calling
in. Bye.
Okay, and of course, anyone is allowed to call in. Please, call. Please. Please.
He's lonely.
The number,
he's really lonely.
I get sad. So the number is 718-664-9468. Again, the number being 718-664-9468. How to get a little pizzazz that time? Maybe just make people go, you know what, now I would call in. He gave the effort, you know? But seriously,
that 8 was really enthusiastic.
That it really was. Like I was saying, though, like we were saying, yeah, so it's funny, though. I told Tristan to call in, did not think at all that he would bring up an amazing point that we were going to bring up, because Clara is a really weird issue, because, you know, as we were saying before he called in, you know, I think Moffat really likes to write, I mean, I'll admit, yes, Rose had a purpose, yes, Martha had a purpose, yes, you know, Donna had a purpose, but it felt like, other than Donna, I think, if they continued on, it wouldn't be so much of an issue. That's why you had Rose for 2 series. Also, because you could see her work with the new doctor and see her reactions to a new doctor, which were fun. But I don't think, but her story, at least, you know, wasn't really like a, oh my God, you're so impossible. You know what I mean? Like, everything you've done is crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that you exist. You may be the most important person in history.
Well, somebody pointed out to me once, and it's true, we haven't had a companion in a long time who there wasn't any kind of underlying something to them. You know what I mean? We haven't had just a regular, you know, this companion's very unhappy with their life. Maybe they're not in the job that they like, or school isn't going so well. And then the doctor comes along, and for a little while they get to escape from. We haven't had one of those kinds of companions in a very long time. Our past couple rounds of companions have been this person has entered into the doctor's, I don't want to say life, because it's kind of weird to say life.
Existence.
Crosshairs.
Existence. Right.
in an unusual way, and he's sitting there going, but why, though?
Yes,
and we haven't had the regular old – I mean, true, those some of those companions have turned out to have storylines, and that's fine. But
we haven't had
the regular, you know, this person just needs to go away. It turns out they're brilliantly amazing, and they're really smart, and they're actually very useful. We haven't had one of those companions in a very long time.
Well, I mean, I would argue that Rose was one of those. But still, I'll admit that a lot of that happened back in the day. You know, I feel as if with Moffat, because again, I don't know, something about Martha felt like it was in his crosshairs, but she still could have left. Donna was definitely, you know, Donna was where it started to become a bit too much where, okay, you're really, really, really important, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that was only one from Davies, you know, where, who I'm not a big fan of his season finales, but I realized when you go back, Davies did some pretty good one-off episodes, for me anyway. But not all of them were good, but still, some pretty good ones. But anyway, you go to Moffat, and the issue is that he likes to write his women extremely important. And it feels like Tristan said, where it's like, oh, you know, Clara was being used to connect with the audience. I would argue that not just in this episode, she's always used, because that's what the, you know, where I understand, yes, the companions have always been used as a way for children. I mean, you look at the first ever, you know, Doctor Who with, you know, episodes with William Hartnell, he had Susan, his granddaughter. Obviously, the show at the time was a kid's show, if you didn't know. So it's a way to kind of draw in, you know, the viewers. Also, that he traveled with her two teachers, an older man and an older woman, possibly trying to get the family in. Oh, hey, here's a woman, you know, and the kids who might be like, oh, I don't know about this doctor fellow because he's kind of old. You know, oh, well, he has a granddaughter, and you know what I mean? So, like, he's trying to, you know, get in the viewers, yes. But now the issue, I think, is that, you know, he does it. Now it's being done in a way where they give them such huge storylines that when they're finished, they kind of just feel like they're kind of twiddling their thumbs and, like, kind of moving their heels back and forth, you know, like their feet back and forth. Like, so, I'm here. What's going on?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like we're past due for a companion who's just that, just a companion. Just somebody who needs to get out of their lives for a little bit. And somebody who the doctor could just kind of travel with and share in all his experiences with.
Yeah, I would be so happy if like, they just have an entire series, not an entire series, but an entire episode on, but you're impossible, but this can't be happening. How are you here? Immediately gets a note, like, from himself. She isn't impossible. You're an idiot. Oh, thanks, me. Like, you know what I mean? Like sometimes this is just coincidence. You know, usually this is not coincidence. However, this time it's coincidence. Thanks, me. Like,
thanks,
you know?
Me.
Yeah, exactly. No, thanks, future me. You see a TARDIS.
My God. But, yeah. I mean, it's... The thing with Clara is, like, now I feel like he kind of can't... Like, obviously, how she entered into his crosshairs. Crosshairs is slowly becoming the word of the day today. It obviously is impossible. And how she keeps coming back is impossible and not, like, all of these things. But I feel like now that he knows why, it's like, can you really call her the impossible girl? Because now you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, her storyline's been explained. She's no longer the impossible girl because now you have a reason. Now you have a possibility. So she's kind of done. So, Scoot. Hello?
I would like to apologize for the fact that my phone disconnected. I'm going to assume it's a Blog Talk Radio issue. And again, I would like to apologize for leaving Katie on air alone to die.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm so sorry,
there,
Katie.
I was just about to say, okay, so it looks like we've lost Matt.
No, the saddest thing in the world is Katie has no power to end the show. So she would just be going, so everyone, how are you all? I know you can't answer, but I'm sure you're good. but anyway, I would like to ask you, Katie, what was the last thing that you heard from me before the phone completely disconnected?
Would it be
okay.
horrible if I can't remember?
It's fine. You see, I want everyone to know that Katie never listens to me on the actual telephone as well. So that if something like this actually happens on the real phone, in real life, she'll just say, I don't remember, start from the beginning.
Well, no, I usually can tell you the exact word when you stop off on. But we went on
a
Claritin tangent.
No, not this time. No, what I was saying was, and hopefully this wasn't too far back, I was saying that the issue is that obviously we were talking about how they make the companions a bit too big, right? And they make the stories a bit too grand. And, of course, you know, they're sitting there and they kind of just feel like they have nothing to do after a while. And what I was saying was it would just be funny how, you know, after a while, maybe, you know, you just have the doctor tell himself after this whole, like, you're so impossible. Just, the, you know, doctor tells himself, nope, not impossible. She's actually pretty normal. Nothing
yeah.
weird about her.
And that's what I was saying to you, that pretty much now that her storyline's explained, it's like
what?
Impossible.
Oh, now I remember exactly what I was saying. What I was saying was, hopefully, you know, I don't know where exactly when I was cut off, but I was saying was, is that, I don't know about you, but I'm not saying that these women shouldn't be important, because these can be, the you know, but again, the most important woman on Earth, sure. The most important woman in the galaxy? Okay. Most important woman in the universe? You know, that's where I'm saying, where it just, it kind of gets to the point where it's just a bit too much, I feel. You know, where after a while, it's just like, all right, so, like, what are we doing here? Because, again, her story's done. Yeah, her story was done. And I know it would have been hard to introduce someone new in Time of the Doctor, but I think it's a bit upsetting that for the next five episodes, it like, because I don't know. That, let's I know
well,
that.
Well, they could have kept her for the Time of the Doctor. I mean, I wouldn't have had a problem with that.
Right.
It's after that, once we get back into the, it's not
swing
really a humdrum in Doctor Who, but the regular
the swing of things. Yeah.
Point, we're all sitting there and going, so we know why you're here now. So what else? That's why I'm saying, like, that was the beauty of the companions who were just there just because.
Right.
Because they didn't have a time frame. They didn't have a, well, we have to figure out what's happening to you, and then after that, you have to go. You could stay there
exactly.
as long as you wanted to, because this was just, however, I mean, sure, obviously, after a certain point, they're probably going to look at the doctor and go, you know, this is fun, but at a certain point, I need to get back to my life.
Yeah.
And that is perfectly fine. That's
right.
The whole purpose of Doctor Who, but it's
also,
like...
Yeah. Also, another issue, and I know you didn't watch too much Old Who, but the thing about Old Who that also worked is that these episodes aired... I mean, they did air once or twice a week, right, for a long time, but they also, their stories, you know, they had these serials, and in the serials, they had episodes. So they would have six-episode story parts. So after a while, it really feels like not only are you getting to know this person, but if they're only there for, like, a season... They were there for so many episodes that it was okay. And if they're there for two seasons, you're like, okay, cool. Like, you know, it, I don't know. But for me, maybe it's because I'm looking back on it. I'm not living through it now. But looking back on it, it had a lot of time for the companions. And a lot of time to – that if it was two seasons, even three, you're like, wow. Like, you know, like they've been on for a while. But, you know, it's like – I don't know. You could throw them off and it wouldn't be an issue. Here, with the way Doctor Who is being made, you know, with the whole 13 episodes, you know, every so often, like every year and whatever, I feel like having a companion on for 3 years is a bit of a waste, you know, of Precious Who. Like, I like a Doctor Who could every season, or every series rather, because now they're series, every series have, you know, one companion each series, or, you know, one companion for two series. But once it becomes, because correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Amy and Rory were two and a half series, two and a half men. Two and a half series with Amy and Rory, because they were on series 5, series 6, and then half of series 7.
Yeah,
that's what's an issue. And then we get Clara for half of series 7, with, you know, some of her sprinkled in elsewhere, half of series 7, and then two specials, and now here we are. So I will admit it does make sense to have her on for another half of a series, but the issue also is that her story was so self-contained to those five episodes that I kind of understand Tristan saying she, you know, wasn't on for so long. But at the same time, it just is an issue because, as we've mentioned over and over and over, sorry, everyone, story
but
is
you know
over.
But the thing is, I feel like the good thing about her storyline was that, and I thought that was the brilliance that they were trying to lead into, is that because of how she entered into the Doctor's journey.
Yes.
Try not to say crosshairs. Dang it.
That's Katie's new word of the day.
T-shirts will be sold at the end. because of how she entered into it, that if they ever wanted to, she could have left and they could have gone. I think I mentioned this to you. Like, they could have done a thing like Where's Clara in Doctor Who episodes.
Right,
See if you can, like a Where's Waldo kind of thing. See if you can spot Clara in the Doctor Who episodes.
Right, yeah. Which would have been fun and interesting. I mean, I haven't told you, like, you don't watch Gravity Falls, even though you should be. Everyone's judging you for not. Gravity Falls, the creator does a lot of cool things, like a lot of cool hidden messages that are like in cryptogram format, and you'll decode them and you'll find the funniest things. Like there was something in a in the Book of Monsters that the little kid has. Not little kid, he's 12, but he has like a book of monsters in the town, right? And one of them is called the Leprechaun, which is basically a leprechaun mixed with a unicorn. And guess what?
Combination.
Yeah, right. And there was a cryptogram in there, and you didn't know what it was. But once it was decoded, like, you know, that night after the episode aired, it literally said, "I swear to God, please kill me." which, again, having those little fun little things like spot the Clara, like as if it's not even like, which would be great because, I mean, they've done stuff like that before, which is also, I think, another thing that we're really missing. We have these storylines going through the series, right? But they aren't as nice and hidden as some of the Davies stuff were.
Mm.
Like, I will admit, Bad Wolf wasn't hidden. You know, Bad Wolf was there. Saxon, though? And maybe it's my memory, but I think Saxon was more of a background thing. Where it did say vote Saxon a lot, but it wasn't, like, overly thrown in your face in the sense of, you know, like, you didn't have the Master as Saxon on television, as far as I remember. Until he was the Master.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, you knew. Yes. So I think that some of that would be nice. Where you imagine, you know, Clara's in the background. And it's just like, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. And even though he's with a new companion, she appears and she's like, I've been looking for you. I needed to save you from something.
It's kind of like a River Song scenario almost.
Right.
Where she's a companion, but she doesn't have to be there.
Yeah. You know, it's, like that's the thing. She'd be like, I was trying to save you from something. And he's like, from what? And she's like, I actually don't know yet. You know, like...
I'm surprised they actually haven't played with the idea of what happens if Clara does run into one of her older or one of her different, not incarnations, but one of her different parts.
I know,
one of her
parts, yes. Yeah, that's the issue. I think that for some reason they haven't, Moffat used to think like, oh, if this happened once, it's happened all the time, right? But I really think he's gotten away from that somehow. I don't know why. So, I don't know. Something about it feels like he's just resigned himself to thinking, well, it's a children's show. And I don't want him to do that. Because if people ask him stuff like that, they'll be like, hey, my kid got it, so why can't you?
He called a dinosaur a big, sexy woman. I think...
Not Stephen Moffat, the doctor.
He's not in full view of the children. He sees
them, but
he's not in full view.
I know, but, okay, no, here's what I'm saying. I understand how the dialogue can reflect that, but I think in more of the storylines, I think he feels as if it's like, oh, it's, you know what I mean? Because at first I thought he was trying to get really wibbly wobbly, right, Tommy Wiseau, because, I mean, hey, he wrote Blink, everyone, if you don't know. But the problem is that, I don't know, right now I feel like that's the thing. Like when you do something like that where it's like Clara has actually saved him forever, so she's been everywhere. It's just like, oh, so then she's still out there. No, she's not actually because that story is over. Oh.
Mm.
You know? Unless, hear me out. Well, here's what's weird too. I was going to say, but what if Clara gave herself you know, stuff. You know what I mean? Like, apparently, like, she was given the number to call the doctor from a woman, right? The issue is that Clara would look at herself and know that it's herself. That's where things become a bit problematic. But it would be nice if Clara was helping Clara without realizing that Clara was helping Clara.
I mean, the only way around that is if, like, it's an older version of Clara, maybe? Like, old
That's
enough
what I'm saying, yeah.
where it's, like...
Yes.
It wouldn't register until after
yeah.
she's just like, wait a minute.
Are you saying she got trapped in the past? That's never been done. Ooh.
And Dr.
I don't know. I don't know, Katie. I think we're in a real Claradox.
I'm hanging up.
You can go. Enjoy the show, bro. I was really happy with that, all right? So you can go to hell. Claradox, it's
I'm
genius.
I'm sure you were happy. I'm sure you
Claradox,
were.
Claradox, that is you know how you want to know how genius that is? It's borderline stupid. It's gone so far around. It's gone so far around genius that now it's borderline stupid. It's wonderful. We've entered pudding braindom. I wasn't a big fan of that line. See, that's the funny thing about, I think, with Capaldi at first. I wasn't a big fan of his comedy because it didn't really strike me as – and it wasn't even that, like, pudding brain was an issue. Just something about his delivery I wasn't the biggest fan of. But by the middle of the episode, I liked his I liked everything about him with his comedy and his, you know, and everything. It's just at first it felt weird. Like, it felt a little awkward. I didn't know how to express, and I don't think I was hearing it in Matt Smith's voice. I hope not, anyway. I just think that it was just something about his delivery just felt weird. Like, you know, like, I don't say unfunny, but it did feel weird.
Yeah. I mean, it might just be one of those things where, like, you know how, like, when a friend makes a really, like, bad joke about you, but you're okay with it because you've known them so long that you're just like, eh, they like me, they're just kidding. It's like
maybe that is it, yeah.
We haven't known you for that long for you to outright just go and start in with humans are pudding brains. It hasn't clicked in yet. So it's like
don't
insult us without knowing us, God.
Also, another thing I know that you might not know about, or another thing is, I mean, you know that he was in the show called The Thick of It, I'm sure. However, I don't know if you've seen it. I sadly haven't taken a look at it myself, but I've seen some transcripts and I've looked at some clips, and it's really funny because he curses a lot.
Oh, no, I've heard of this. I've heard of this.
Right.
I haven't watched it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, I assume you've heard of it. So my thing is, I think maybe he's so good at delivering mean lines that it's just like, Peter, you're supposed to be nice about this. It's funny. It's a kid's show. Fuck the kids. You know? No, he loves the kids. He loves the kids. But what I mean is I feel like he might, you know, it may have came off a bit meaner than it should have. Well, like with Matt Smith, and again, I don't want to compare. I hate comparing. But Matt Smith would be like, all of you are such pudding brains. So it would come out as like, you know what I mean? Like it would come out as frustrated. But when Peter Capaldi is frustrated, you're like, Dad's mad at me. Mm-hmm. You know? Where it's like,
somebody was saying that.
That's funny.
Everybody should know that by somebody, I mean the internet. That
Right. The collective, by someone, she means Tumblr. So what was Tumblr saying today, Katie?
That they were seeing the doctor as, this is most likely going to turn into a father-daughter relationship.
Yes, which is why... I'm sorry to interrupt you.
It's okay.
It is, which is why it's creepy that they were flirting a lot. Like, they weren't flirting. The show was flirting with the idea of them being together.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the
issue.
It's off-putting.
And remember, there's nothing wrong with people being together no matter what age or race or gender. Hell, even species. With the lizard lesbian relationship, which, by the way, I'm bringing it up a lot because this episode focused on that a lot, and I enjoyed it because I liked that they didn't even it didn't matter with the fact that they were both female in appearance and everything. No, what matters is that, you know, like that's not the oh god, it's so groundbreaking. You just had Jenny say, well, you know, I mean, she's a lizard, like you don't talk about different. And I was like, oh, that's nice. But the problem is that, yeah, it does kind of, it kind of makes you think like, oh, now Clara and the Doctor are going to get together when he's old. And mind you, it doesn't matter how old he is, because he's always old. What matters is that I'm not a fan, and I know you're not either, of the Doctor and the Companion having, you know, relations.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, River was different, because River, because of how she was born and how she was conceived, kid show, how she was conceived.
Yes.
She was part Time Lord.
Right. Right. And
so
I would like to remind you, I mean, like, if he meets a girl, you know what I mean? If he meets a girl and then is with her or something, like, that can happen. The thing is that gets me, it's just the fact that I don't like the, like, when he brings in a companion on board, I feel like he's doing that with a completely, you know, neutral, just, I'm going to be your best mate, I'm going to be your friend, you know, feeling,
yeah,
you know?
Like, in the episode, at one point, Capaldi said,
Capaldi.
He said something along the lines of, like, that's how I meet girls.
Which was funny, like, actually, but,
it rubs me a little bit the wrong way.
I agree.
That's, like, you basically sitting there and admitting, like, the only reason why all my, like, earlier, he might have tried to write off some reason why all of his companions are girls, just like, oh, it's just coincidence, all these things. That was just him just sitting there going, no, it's because I find all of them attractive. Like, can we have...
I
know, looks don't matter, has an ugly companion. Tell me that I'm trying to
Well,
to
what I'm saying
now.
Is this much. What I'm saying is this much. I think that it's because of the fact that we have someone writing who, you know, again, and I'm not saying that Moffat's the devil or anything, but he wants to write the Doctor as more human, which works in some ways, but it also makes the Doctor sound a bit weird in terms of, I mean, the Doctor can be vain, I understand that. The Doctor can look for beauty like everyone else does, I guess, but the issue is that, you know, like you said, he kind of mentioned it, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I pick up women. And it's like, you know, it's meant to only be a one-off joke line because Moffat likes to write those. But the problem is that you're making, you know, you're adding on to the Doctor Who lore, and you're adding on to who the Doctor is. So, what, you know what I mean? So those throwaway lines, you know, it's like they're really, like, unless they're coming from someone who isn't the Doctor, they're part of him. You know, because you aren't writing a different version of the Doctor. I mean, you're writing a different, you know, version of the Doctor, a different part of him, but you're not writing a different character. You're writing the Doctor.
Yeah.
You know? So I understand exactly how you're feeling.
I mean,
I do think it was funny,
even,
but I understand.
You can't even sit there and say, like an old Who, that wasn't always the case. I mean, you mentioned the first companion. He's obviously, I would hope to God that he wouldn't pick up his granddaughter.
Yeah.
And then her two school teachers, which, if I'm remembering their episode correctly, because I did watch a little bit of their episodes.
Right, I remember I showed that to you a
while ago. The only reason why the teachers came along was by mistake.
Yeah, well, he kidnapped them, in theory. Because they showed up at the junkyard like, oh, Susan said this was her address. This can't be her address. Ends up meeting the grandfather. Who are you? Oh, I'm just a man going through, you know. It's like, well, I'm her grandfather eventually. And it's like, you know, and they wanted to leave. And the Doctor was like, Susan, if they leave, they're going to tell people about us. And it was just really funny how Ian ended up, this one of the school teachers, the male one, ended up messing with the controls. And that's how they went all the way to the past with cavemen.
Yeah. I didn't
It was
like
just really.
Ian.
I loved
Ian.
Ian
he was very complaining. He was very complaining.
You will grow to like Ian. That's how I feel. But I understand why. Honestly, I didn't like the Doctor at first. That first Doctor at first, because obviously it's very much like literally just I'm going to kidnap you now.
Well, I mean, I feel like that's understandable because I mean, if you're an alien,
kidnapping is just fine. No, I'm sorry. Kidnapping is just fine when you're the Doctor. Katie Engesser, everyone. I love getting all of you.
Are you telling me that you can't understand? Like, okay, I'm trying to explain this in a way that you can that would
right.
make sense.
Okay.
You go to a new race of people who, I love humans. I truly do. If we found an alien tomorrow, our first thought would be, let's dissect it. Not even, like, let's question it. Let's open it up and figure out what the hell is going on inside. That being in mind, right? The second
right.
two people who, the second that they see you, they're automatically going into, this is not true, we have to tell people all of these things. I can understand you being a little bit gun-shy and going, we might not want to make them leave. I'm not saying that it's right, but I'm saying in a I kind of don't want to be cut open and looked at point of view, I can understand
right.
it.
I see your point. It's still just really funny how you just – I'm sorry. I understand what you're saying. It's just really funny how your reaction was, listen, it's only kidnapping. I mean, honestly.
There's no one in my basement. What?
What? Why? So anyway, sadly, we're going to have to end this episode soon. Before we do, I would like to say, Matt Cameo is his name. No, Matt Smith had a cameo. How did you feel about that?
You know what? I thought that was sweet in terms of a transition.
Yes.
The way it was working with, I don't know, the way that it was put in with Clara, I'm not sure if I liked it 100%.
Yes, because, you know, we've mentioned this earlier in the episode. It just doesn't fit her. But that's a good story if it wasn't about her.
Yeah. But I can understand
right.
how
right.
I feel like that wasn't such a bad thing. That was okay.
No.
That was I was fine with that. I saw Matt
yes.
Smith and that was fine.
I know, yeah. And what's very interesting is that Matt Smith, you know, that doctor, whatever his number is, 11, 12, 14 and a half, he didn't leave the note apparently. Or rather, he wasn't the one who left the the meeting thing in the newspaper. And neither was the main villain in this episode. So for some strange reason, we're sitting here now thinking, who did that? Which is great, because of obviously future story stuff. Also, by the way, before we go, I also want to mention to you, was I the only one who thought that the guy, the half-robot, only from promos, by the way, the half-robot was the villain from the previous season at Trenzalore? Was that only me?
It might have been only you.
Okay, that was only me. Sorry,
I'm sorry.
That it's been a while, and I didn't watch any of the marathons recently, so they looked similar to me because he was also part robot. Because I knew he was part robot.
Well, you know, you've heard the theory from the internet that BBC actually only has 12 actors, like two sets.
Right, that is true.
One umbrella.
Right, that is true. There are only 12 actors in Britain. Gary Oldman has been in every episode of Doctor Who. We just haven't noticed just yet because he's Gary Oldman. I have a theory that Peter Capaldi is Gary Oldman.
It is possible.
Now,
it is possible.
Yes. Now, my producer also agrees with this theory. I am the producer. Anyway, you sat there like, who runs this thing? How big is it? I thought I was on a little tiny podcast. How big are you guys? We're very small. But hey, it's okay.
Mommy.
Anyway, but seriously though, we would like to thank you for being on because there's totally more than one person on the show with you right now. I would like to thank you for being on the show today, Katie. You know, hopefully
thank
you'll
you
be
for having
able
me.
To, yes, hopefully you'll be able to come on for more because obviously Katie not only enjoys Doctor Who, but you enjoy Supernatural and also get into Gravity Falls. Damn it, it's a really good show. And you would
I still have to catch up on Supernatural. Tumblr has spoiled the ending for me, so I know that much, but I actually should probably watch the episode.
So you know about Sam dying?
I do now.
Nah, that didn't happen.
The only
winking.
Thing I knew about was Dean, and that's all I'm putting.
I'm winking.
Years watching Supernatural.
I'm winking.
I totally
anyway.
Saw that on the phone.
no, but seriously, though, we would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys and sometimes gals. And hey, guess what, everyone? We have a Facebook. We do. We actually do. If for some reason you ended up finding us without Facebook, we have a Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio. And, of course, why do you like our Facebook? You like our Facebook because that's where we post our episodes. We post them on the Facebook. So you'll get to know, oh, hey, today we're doing Doctor Who. Oh, today we're doing WWE Raw or, you know, one of the pay-per-views. Or we're doing a Dragon Ball Z movie. Or we're doing a show called This Week in Comics, which we usually do where we talk about a specific, you know, set of comics each week. You'll know that through our Facebook. Or you might know that through our Twitter, where our Twitter, Those Guys Radio, if you follow us there, not only will we post our episodes, but funny cat pictures. And more. And, of course, yeah, I know. And, of course, if you want to have any, you know, if you want to send us any marketing, you know, possibilities, you know, advertisements, anything like that, we can promote you. I was kidding about us being small. We actually are a very large corporation. So we can promote you. And, you know, and of course, if you want to email us about that stuff, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. And, of course, remember, our Facebook and our Twitter and our Gmail are open to show suggestions. So if you sit there and think, you know what, I like this show. Maybe they might like this show. Throw suggestions at us because we will do them. We will. You know, if you never know if shows, interests will collide. Because, you know what, I mean, you always forget who likes what. You know, I mean, I just remembered, you know, that there were a lot of people that I messaged about this show saying, hey, you want to do the show? Hey, you're able to do the show today? Hey, you're able to do the show today? And we found a new host. Hooray. But we also had some of our other hosts, you know, call in because, again, we're also one big family, you know? So, again, before we go, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys and sometimes gals. Say goodbye to everyone, Katie.
Bye, everyone, Katie.
I knew you were going to freaking do that. Oh, and by the way, remember, if it's available, buy the new Doctor Who theme on iTunes or possibly even on Amazon. And now I'm going to play for you something from the Doctor Who Series 7 soundtrack called Clara, which is Clara's theme. And definitely enjoy that.